When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now listening to the Soul Shine Podcast. This is the Soul Shine Podcast.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Soul Shine Podcast. I am so glad that you are tuning in this week. And like I have mentioned, if you have not caught up on season two, you need to go do that. Season two has been packed with some incredible people sharing their journey of grief and loss and just mental health in the space of what they're doing to contribute to society. And so I have been honored to interview people from the local area of Texas, but also within this great United States. So I am so happy to be here. I'm so glad that you're tuned in. And this week, we're going to just continue to talk about mental health and how that impacts us. And mostly today, I have a special guest. We actually reside in the same area. We actually met at an event. And from there, we have been able to collaborate on a lot of different things here locally in the Austin area. And so for that, I'm super excited. There has been a lot of challenges to get this recording done, but we are here and we are excited. And so I would like to introduce Mr. Keonis Williams. Keonis is a master personal trainer, wellness consultant, founder of Chance and Choice. He received his education from East Texas Baptist University in 2018 and his master's of business administration at Louisiana State University in Shreveport. Recently, Keonis has been recognized as one of the top trainers in the city of Austin and has been nominated as one of the top Black young professionals. He has been a personal trainer since 2013, which led him into the industry of health and fitness for his career. After pursuing a professional football career, Keonis made his life mission to make all those he comes in contact with healthier and happier. He has trained over 100 clients ranging from preschool children to professional athletes. Over the last 5 years, he has built a strong fitness and wellness business, which cooperates with large institutions and businesses such as the University of Texas and the Black Men's Health Clinic. Keonis strives to create a healthier world with those around him, no matter their age, ethnicity, or financial situation. He believes that the key to long life is a healthier life. And the only way to help others enjoy their lives to the fullest is to educate and expose them to the healthier options and habits that life has to offer. So, Sean, let's give a nice warm welcome to Keonis. How are you today?
I'm good. It's a lot longer than on paper. It sounds like I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm feeling good today. I've been having some challenges today, but this is a good opportunity to, you know, just express, you know, God's giving gift of life, man. And I'm just happy to be on here.
Well, I am happy to have you. Yes, I agree. Sometimes when I look at my bio or when people are reading about me, I'm like, gosh, I typed it. Sounds so, it looks so much different on paper than when people read out, but it is great. I am excited that you're here. And yes, there has been challenges for us to get here, but we are here and God is faithful. And we are going to make sure that we get all of the things that we need to talk about because we know how technology can be. That was evident by today and all the cell towers in our area. I think all over the United States were down today.
Yes, that was one of the issues. One of my issues.
Yes. Well, I am so glad. And so typically how we like to start off the show is just talking about RIP moments. And so what is something that you miss?
Well, I kind of, you know, I'm in therapy and I'm going through like a personal grieving situation. one of the things that I'm grieving with that I miss is football. And the reason why I say that is it's not because of the chasing the dream, chasing the goal. It's the discipline and the reward system that came from it. As I've been trying to maneuver through fatherhood and lifestyle, the basis of football, the life lessons it taught me, the routine, the habits, all of those things kind of molded my personality. And now that I'm in a space of life that's different, it's not the same. Everything's unpredictable. It's causing my ADD and my anxiety. All these different things are coming out now. It's difficult to maneuver through that. So if I had to say my RIP moment is just the confinement of routine, right? I miss being able to know when I was going to eat, when I was going to eat, when I was going to work out. Like that, it made life simple, right? But now I don't have that anymore. So sometimes in therapy sessions, we talk about it where it's like I'm grieving a time management thing, right? Because it makes things difficult. But if I put a person, it'd be my grandmother. I just had a little girl a year ago. And sometimes when I look at her, I see my grandmother and I have my moments, man. I have my moments where I'm just like, man, I wish you could see this. I really wish you were here. But I do know that I feel like her spirit is in me because people always say you act just like your grandma, like just a nice guy. It takes a lot to make you mad. Like you just chill. But as I'm on this path of loving my kids, it's just, I look at her and I just miss her sometimes because you'd be like, man, if you was here, this would be the most spoiled little thing in the world. but those are my two RIP moments.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. Yes, time management as we become adults and we juggle so many hats, I feel like is something that we're constantly trying to. I never play sports, but our son, he is a basketball player and he's starting to get a little bit more disciplined in realizing like to go to the next level, there are certain routines and requirements that have to happen outside of just the practice at school or with the, select league. And so I always, as a nurse, have had to have time management. There has to be priority. And so I have incorporated some of that in my life. But when seasons change like they do, sometimes that's hard. So I never thought about it from that perspective as an athlete, because you guys are super disciplined, especially when you get to that college level. Like there is very little time for anything outside of the sport that you're playing. And so, and as far as grandmothers, yes, I recently lost my grandmother in September and I feel her presence and I know she's there, but I miss her. There is times, the hardest part for me recently has been wanting to call her. We talk pretty much every day. And so there is times where I want to like call, like in my head, I'm like, I need to call her and tell her about what's going on. So my husband, he encouraged me to call. And in theory, it sounded good, but then I called and the number obviously is disconnected. So what I've started doing is writing instead, because obviously I can't call. And so, or I'll leave like a voice memo of what I would want to say to her. And that's really helped me because I look at my kids and I look just around at things that's going on. And I'm like, man, she would have enjoyed seeing, some of these accomplishments and just being part of it. And so I definitely understand that part. As far as in the community, I know you have achieved a lot of things and you are currently working on so many projects. You mentioned time management and, grieving kind of that structure. How do you balance some of that?
Man, I'm not from Austin. So when I moved here in 2018, I just tried to hit the ground running because I was engaged. Me and my wife were getting married and I felt this overwhelming need to provide. Like, my wife is in school. We are adopting my nephew. Like, it was just a lot of like, man, you got to establish yourself. You got to establish yourself because you got to take care of your family. But I've also been the kind of person where I'm very like solo. Like, I like to, because at the end of the day, like, I wasn't a project type kid in school. I was like, look, man, I'll do the whole project. Y'all just leave me alone. Like, I don't want to wait on nobody. I don't want to have to put myself in a predicament where you don't do your part and I got to figure this out. Like, don't stress me out. I'll stress myself out. Yeah. But like when I got here, one thing that I did do was I plugged into the church. Even growing up, I always felt like the church should be a one-stop shop. And I feel like if you want to get spiritual, finance, legal, anything you need, there's somebody in the church that do it. Right. And so when I got here and I just plugged into my wife's church, Mount Zion Baptist Church, really heavy because her grandfather was the pastor. But I knew dating her, she was a church girl. She's a PGK, like she's a preacher's grandkid. And so she died hard in the church. And so I was like, well, that's what she do. It come with it. And so I just established myself in the church, meeting people, shaking hands, smiling. Like I said, I made myself available. And what happened was it was just when people got to know me, it opened opportunities. And I'm a kind of person where it's like, I might not say no, but let me check it out. Like you never know who you might meet. And like my grandmother always taught me, like, you never know when God gonna send an angel your way, because you gotta treat people the same way at all the time. They never, like, you're no better than the next man. We all got 6 feet to go, and we all, you know, we all come from the same place. So I just was just respectful to people and meeting people. And what happened was it just turned into this, hey, I heard you do this. Hey, I heard you do that. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll come check it out. And I check it out, and then it turns into this, oh, wow, you're very articulate. Oh, you know what you're talking about. I'm like, I guess. Like, I'm a rabbit hole person. Like, when I get into something, I run on a rabbit hole and I try to learn everything about it. Because if somebody comes and asks me about it, I want to be able to say, I know this much, but this is where you can go to find the rest of the information. Like, I feel like I'm just a resource hub. And, like, time management just got really chaotic, if that makes sense. Because I started putting my hands in so many places, just trying to fill it out, that it eventually turned into, like, now it's becoming a career. Or now becoming that resource hub. And now it's like being in the community. It's like when someone needs something about health and wellness, they call me. Someone needs about fitness and exercise, they call me. I say no to some things, but the relationships that have been built is now is I refer them to someone else. Like, hey, I can't do it this day, but this person may be able to. Because I feel like if you're trying to put something on for somebody, somebody else can do it. Right? At the end of the day, we all on the same mission. Like, so I guess that answers your question. Like, it's just doing so many different things, but now to a point where when I do things, I'm not an expert, but I know enough to say either I can or I can't, but I know somebody that can. Instead of just turning people away and say, no, I can't do it, I can't help you. It's like, nah, let me go do the due diligence and find somebody else that can do it, because I know you really need this help. Let me help you out. So I guess that pretty much answers your question.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. I think that we weren't created to do life alone. And I agree. I grew up in a very small church. And so everybody had something to contribute. They were, you know, you mm-hmm. had the preacher still worked, and there was, you know, nurses, people that worked in healthcare, people that worked in the legal system. So it was, and they were all family, right? So it was very much one-stop shop. And if they didn't know, they knew how to get you connected. That mentality obviously changes as you get to bigger and bigger cities. But I think that that is definitely how you get plugged in. Your church should be that. And I just appreciate that. I am like that too. I am like, you go once. It's not necessarily that I want to know everything, because I don't. I just want to be able to give you the correct information, and I don't want to mislead you. So if you come to me, that means you value and you trust what I'm saying. And so for me, it's like, okay, well, I want to make sure I've done my, like you said, due diligence in giving you the right information, even if I'm not the person who ends up ultimately helping you. I've at least pointed you and guided you and gave you some good directives so that you can, you know, be able to seek what you need. The other part is that you do so much within the church as well as in fitness and in mental health. How have you married your passion for fitness and just being healthy, and then also being a, you know, a Black man willing to talk about why mental health is important?
Man, that's a deep question. Well, I got into fitness primarily through my childhood. Growing up, I'm from East Texas, and health and fitness is not a thing. People eat bad. Like you eat to survive, and you live off what your family did. Especially being a black family growing up in that area, it's still very segregated. It's still very rural. Like I said, my grandparents only have a fourth and fifth grade education, and they have about 14 kids between both of them, right? So it's a massive family, and you do what you need to do. Like, it's all about survival and trying to stick together. And that mentality kind of rolled over into some things, but the nutrition side was never there, right? I was, like, short story is that I was very, very overweight at the age of 6 years old, and the doctor told my parents is that if you guys don't change his lifestyle, he's either going to be dead or he's going to have some very serious health issues that he can't come back from. And once that happened, my parents decided to say, you know, my dad was a football star. And East Texas, football is life. In Texas in general, football is life. But when you're from a small town, that's all you do. Like, you don't have any other options, so you play sports. And my dad was just like, look, dude, like, you're going to go play football. I'm the nerdy, chubby kid. I don't want to play football. But I ended up playing a sport, and I lost a lot of weight, and I started feeling good. I started making friends. I started my life started to change, even though I was still a nerdy kid that got bullied. But my family nutrition didn't change. And then I started seeing men in my family die really early. Like, one day you'll wake up, and all of a sudden your mom comes and tells you, Uncle so-and-so has cancer. Wait, how did that happen? Or then a couple months later, you know, Uncle so-and-so passed away. And I'm like, he's pretty young. Like, he's only like 50, like 60. And then, you know, I got older and I started playing sports, and sports was my outlet for physical activity. And when I started noticing my parents started going through health issues, my mom had my sister. She was very overweight. She couldn't lose the baby weight anymore. I watched her as a child lose a lot of weight because she was just motivated and dedicated. But after my twin sisters, you know, having two kids takes a lot on a woman's body. And I just didn't see her snap back that time. And her depression kicked in. Her anxiety kicked in. Like, my mom, like, I remember being a child and her making comments of, like, I hate myself. Like, I don't want to be here. But I'm pushing through, like, for you. Like, I'm pushing through for your sister. So I took on this burden as a child that, you know, I need to make my life better so my parents don't have to struggle. And I, you know, in my head is going to the NFL, making a bunch of money, buying the land, taking care of the family. That was the idea in my head. But that caused a mental health problem for myself. It created this mentality that it's football or nothing. It's life or death. Cause I don't have any options around me saying, you go be a doctor, you go be this. I don't have that. My parents didn't go to college. My family member, most of them didn't go to school. It was either work in a factory or work in a power plant, chicken houses, or you just a dope boy, or you on the streets. So for me, it was the push to say, I want better for myself. So I had to find this, like, deep ingrained version of myself while at the same time dealing with all the extremities around me. And so the mental health thing started kicking in at a very young age, but I didn't know what it was, because you still have that mentality of watching your dad work to the bone, watching your uncles work to the bone, never complaining, getting sick, getting all different kind of things, but they never take care of themselves. To this day, I have to force my dad to buy himself clothes. I have to force him to take himself out. Like, those kind of things are ingrained in you, especially as a young man, when you're trying to become a man and you're seeing the men around you. Like, I remember seeing uncle have his kidney removed, and at the same time, he's still going to work 2 weeks later. You should be recovering. You should be enjoying life. You should be trying to get back to your, but you can't, because life goes on. And so this burning desire of me, like, I don't want that, man. I don't want to be that guy. I want to live to be 90, 100 years old, see my grandkids, family reunions. That's me. But when I got to, like, college, I started having issues when it came to sports, where recruiting and all this stuff started, like, the politics of the game. And I'm in shape. I'm working out. I look good. I feel good. And my mom is still struggling. And one day it's a summer vacation right before I went to college, and I'm working out, because that's the only thing that made me happy. Cause I knew I can look in the mirror, look at the abs, look at the muscles. And I'm like, I did that. Like, I built this. Like, this is something I control. I'm the one getting up at 5 in the morning. I'm the one hitting the gym. I'm the one eating salad. Like, nobody could take that from me. Nobody. And my mom asked me one day, my mom said, hey, baby, why you work out so much? And I said, it's the only thing I can control. And I'm 17 years old when I said that. And my mom was like, well, can you work out with me? And that's how it started. I started working out with my mom. And every day when I got out of school, I would go to practice. We'd go to the track. We'd go to the track, walk around the track, walk around the track. In small town, we have a thing called the square. It's where everybody goes shopping. We walk around the square. And then all of a sudden, my mom started losing weight. We started eating better with salads, water, like fruits, vegetables. And me and my mom just did it together. We just started going with it together and together. And by the end of that year, my mom lost over like 100-something pounds. And then I started doing little boot camps on the weekends because people started noticing my mom. My mom is my biggest mouthpiece. Like, she's my biggest recruiter. Like, to this day, I still train my mama. Like, my mama got workouts monthly. She'll call me. Like, I got a progression photo I'm about to post this week about her. Like,
oh my goodness.
But with her, she just pushed it and pushed it. And eventually it caught on. Now my aunties are asking. Now my cousins are asking. Now my teachers are asking. So now on Saturdays, it's 17, 18. I was like 18 at the time, getting ready to go to college. I got this big old group of people, like 40, 50 people on a Saturday morning at 9 a.m. wanting to work out. Right?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, this is cool. But then one day somebody came up to me, like at the end of the work, like I started out with just my mom and my aunties. I had like 3 aunties that was doing it. Then it turned like 40, 50 people. So now I'm mowing yards in the morning with my dad to make extra money so I can buy fruits and Gatorade for people. I wasn't making any money from this. I was using my money that I earned so I can provide fruit, water, you know, snacks. I didn't want nobody passing out. I didn't want none of that happening. So I'm trying to take care of everybody. And one day they just showed up after a workout right before I got ready to go to college, and they gave me this big bucket of money. Like, they all donated. And it was like probably almost like $500 in there. And they gave it to me, and I was like, what is this? And they're like, well, we want to help you. And I was like, really? Yeah, you're our personal trainer. So then I started looking into it. I'm like, you get paid for this? Like, you can make money from being a trainer? I was like, I did it because I just want to help people. And then that's when God just took that by storm. And then I just started training. I'm training in college. I'm training people for free. I'm training people $5. I'm just open myself because I really want to help people. And eventually it turned into my ministry, you know. And God basically said, was like, I remember hearing God's voice in college because I'm still training, but I'm trying to make it a business. Mm-hmm. God was like, this is how you show people who I am through you. Because it was like, my training sessions became therapy. Wow. I was noticing that my clients weren't losing weight because they would go home and still not do what they're supposed to do. They know the routine. They know what to do, but they wouldn't do it. But they will always keep coming. They will always still make that payment every month. And I was like, why are you still doing this? And I'm like, I'm frustrated. Like, you're not losing weight. I don't see no changes. But then they're just saying, like, I had one client tell me one day, and she's like, I just enjoy your presence because you make me feel like I can do it.
Wow.
Like, you make me feel like I can do anything, even though I still struggle. And I'm like, wow. So then it turns into like therapy. So now my clients becoming my friends, inviting me to dinner, inviting me to, like, I'm like a godfather and uncle to their kids and stuff. And I'm just like, you know, it just became like this loving feeling. And I just fell in love with it. But then when I started dealing with mental health issues with people, because now I'm seeing people like, hey, this is therapy. But now I need to figure out why you're here anyway. Mm-hmm. So when we started opening up during the workouts, because now I got you in the most vulnerable state. I got you sweating. I got you tired. Mm-hmm. I got you puffing and puffing. I got you doing things that you wouldn't do yourself.
Yeah.
Now I need to figure out, how did we get to this point? So now that's when people really started opening up, where they're like, how did we get to 250 pounds? How did we get here? And then it goes back to now, well, my dad told me I was ugly when I was 6 years old. Mm. Or my mom told me that I would never be anything, so I really just felt like that. Or my husband doesn't touch me and doesn't love me anymore. Or I lost my grandmother and I just never been able to come back out of it. So now it became like, okay, now I'm tapping into the spirit. So now there's a mental, physical, and spiritual aspect to fitness and wellness. Because I can work you out all day long, but yeah. If I can't get your mind and your heart right, you're not going to make any progress. And so I fell in love with it, man. And it just turned into this passion where it became obsessive, like very obsessive. Like I was reading, all my books and search engines was all like different exercises for this. And what can you do for this? And I'm just like, golly, dude, can you like look up something fun? Like all you doing is looking up workouts. All you doing is like, I had like this huge, my computer got stolen about 4 years ago at our apartment. But I had a computer and I had over 1,000 workouts that I've just been building.
Wow.
Like just building. That's why I got MacBooks now, because like I got the iCloud.
You got the cloud.
I got the cloud. But like my faith, my football was my platform. God told me this when I was younger, and I had my godfather said this to me as well. He said, I don't ever see you wearing a helmet. I see you wearing a suit. And I panicked. And I'm like, I ain't trying to be no preacher, bro. Like that ain't me. He said, no, like to this day, I will call my godfather and I'd be like, it's happening. Like we talk at least once a month. I said, it's happening. And he's like, because God used your body to get you on a platform where people will take you seriously. Mm-hmm. Now God is going to use your voice and experience so that you can help them through their situations. And so now my purpose, I feel, is to just bring health and awareness to the Black community primarily, but to people in general. But now being a father and a husband, that's what changed the game, because now I'm responsible for other people's wellness. Mm-hmm. I have to make sure my wife is good. I have to make sure my son is good. I have to make sure my daughter is good. But I also got to make sure I'm good.
Yes.
And so now, because you find yourself going into that pattern of the men in my life, mm-hmm. hustle, grind, make sure everybody, like I can make sure I can provide out the water.
Right.
But then whenever I hit rock bottom, I become a different person. Mm. Now I'm lashing out at my wife. I'm lashing out at my kids. I'm shutting down and not getting things done. I'm walking away from God because God is, you know, you get that little tug in your heart when he's like, hey, read the book, man. Read your book. And you're like, yeah. No, I'm not going to read it because you're going to tell me something I don't want to hear. Or it's like, it ain't going to make no difference right now because I'm still in this thing right now. So yes. God was like, I need you to be authentically yourself, but still get the message across. And the message was more of like, reason why I started attaching myself, like God started opening doors to where I'm in places where a young Black man shouldn't be. Like in a sense of like, he ain't put the work in to be here.
Yeah.
He ain't earned this yet. But God was opening the door saying, I'm going to put you out in West Austin where the rich people are. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you train millionaires. I'm going to let you be in a space with people that own massive Fortune 500 companies. Because I want you to see what that looks like and what that feels like. And so you can make those connections. Now I'm going to send you back down into your community so people can take you seriously.
Yes.
And my connections with different organizations turned into, okay, these people are going into your community to talk about health and fitness. But your people aren't listening to them because they don't look like you.
Representation.
So now I'll put you in a space where these people trust you. These people want you to, they want their services to be given. But they need a face to do it. Not the Uncle Tom, not nothing like that. But it's, we want Kiana's, that God is saying, I want you to be the face. I want you to be the one. I want you to walk into the space. So when somebody says, hey, I have colon cancer. Well, you can say, go to the Black Men's Health Clinic. Tell them Kiana sent you. Go to the Amen program. Tell them Kiana sent you. And when my name carries, it holds weight. Not that I'm perfect or anything like that, but because of the connection that God has built. And so now it's like God, as even as I read my Bible, I talk about God a lot because I like one of my conversations with him is that do not give the glory to yourself because I put you here.
Back.
and it's really like, and God wants me to be unapologetically in my faith in these different rooms.
Yes.
And I got the most blessings from that. And so I'm really trying to walk in that and stay in that without, because I know I have the skill, but where the skill come from?
Mm-hmm.
And so now, as I said, as I'm walking in this space and walking in this purpose, it's now saying, okay, God, I'm here. What do you want me to do? And every time I read my Bible, and it's been crazy, every time I read my Bible, I'm walking in, I'm listening to Moses, or I'm listening to Job, I'm listening to David, I'm listening to all these different, these flawed men who have struggled, got their problems, got their own issue, but they've always been unapologetically in their faith. And when they get to a place where they feel like they're inadequate, God always said, I will provide. I'll tell you what to do. You just need to show up. Like, you don't need to know everything. You don't need to, like, you got the education, but I'm not worried about the, that's just so you can have like a something to stand on so they can hear you. But when you get in that room, like even like right now in this conversation, I feel like I'm rambling, but this ain't even me talking right now. I feel like it's just the spirit moving, right?
Absolutely.
But that's how
you ministering. It's you are ministering. Keep going.
I'm sorry, but even with that, I just try to stay in my lane, and mm-hmm. I just try to like, okay, God, how do you get glory from it? Because I know me, I know myself. I can get very prideful, and that comes from being an athlete. Because when you're in that athlete space, you're always, always trying to prove yourself.
Yeah.
You're always trying to trying to make the next person realize, like, you know, you that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then when somebody doesn't give you that validation, it crushes your spirit. Okay. But now I'm in a space now where I'm trying to give back to the young kids. Like, I know what it means to be in, like, your son. Like, I know what it feels like to say, hey, I want to do this and go try and do it. I played football at the highest level, but it didn't work out the way I expected.
And I'm glad you shared that. And I want to say something because it's been like, you've said so much, which I think is amazing. I am glad that you were able to, you brought it all together, how you've married your fitness and mental health, especially where you're at right now. But in the very beginning, you talked about how at 6 years old, you faced health issues that, you know, eventually your doctor was saying that it was going to end up not well for you. And so you also mentioned how you were the nerdy kid. So I take it you like school. I think that's evident by your education background that you like school. And it's okay because I like school too. So we are in it together. And I grew up in a community where in a family that I am the first one to go to college. I'm the first one to get my graduate degree, and I'll be the first one to get my doctorate. I hope my kids go on to keep the legacy up, but I know what that's like. And I know when you are at a crossroads of, I know what I can do if I go down this path, because I see it. I see it with my family. But I also know that if I do something for me, something that I can control, I may have a different outcome. And being young, you don't really know. I think it's interesting because you didn't ever really want to play sports. That wasn't what you really wanted to do. It was something you needed to do. God needed you to do that because he needed you to be here. He needed you to be healthy. He needed you to be well. And so your godfather said it perfectly. You are supposed to be in a suit. You always were supposed to be. You weren't necessarily supposed to be in a helmet, but you needed something to fuel your passion, right? Because when you're a teenager, yes, God, I'm sure you were in church. I'm sure you knew about God, and I'm sure you had a strong foundation. But let's just be real honest. When we are in our teenage years, we are chasing a dream of we going to be an adult, and this is how my life's going to be, and I'm going to do this. And it's so funny because I too have, and currently have. So as you started to talk about standing unapologetically in your faith, I wholeheartedly agree with that. my job. I too have struggled with my weight. I struggled with my weight from a very young age. My dad's side of the family, all of them were obese. They have been. My dad died at 52 from a heart attack. My grandmother was overweight and obese my entire life. And so we ate, you know, sausage and chicken and fried. And we did not eat that. And so my mom, though, she was relatively fit, but she didn't work out. She still has a very high metabolism. So she never really understood when I would struggle with my weight, that meant and how that affected me. And so as I got older, as I started to have children, my weight became a real like, okay, I am not losing weight like I did when I, you know, was younger. I'm continuing to put on weight. I struggle and have struggled with depression and anxiety. It's increasing because now I'm not comfortable in my own skin. So how do I fix this? And how do I help myself? And so I'm a huge proponent on mental health. And I seen my dad, I lost my dad. And I realized that, you know, 52 is a very young age to leave this earth. And so I had to start getting myself in check with, all right, I need to have, you know, I need to do the things. And so I had gastric sleeve, which has been life changing for me. Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the best things that I could have done, because I was like your clients. I was paying. I had a personal trainer. I would go. I would be mad because they would work me out really good, and I would go home and eat whatever I wanted to. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wasn't doing any of the stuff. I was paying, but I wasn't doing any of the stuff. Yeah. And so you marrying those two things and realizing that God is in control of it all. And that's the part that I think is sometimes hard for us, because like you said, we're in the middle of our own mess or our own, like, God, I want to do this, but I'm not qualified, or how do I get to this? And one of the things I struggled with, and I'm getting better with it now, is I did think, I was like, well, I have to have this education so that I can be able to be in this room. But the rooms that I have been in here of late has nothing to do with my education. My education helps. It makes me, you know, qualified to say, yeah, I know, but it's not really my education that has gotten me in these rooms. It's all God. And I think it's beautiful how you have realized that and you're able to share that and you're able to be a resource and a light to the community, because the reality is that there are so many men who look like you that are going through the same things as you that aren't saying anything to anybody because they don't see representation. And I know I've been in therapy, and there's ways of my therapy of when sometimes I feel like I want representation. And that is part of why I went back to school to get my psych nurse practitioner degree, because when I put in my search engine for a Black female therapist, there is very little. When I put in the search engine for Black male therapists, it's even less. And so not that there's anything wrong with other races, but I need representation. I'm at the point in my life where I need someone who looks like me to be able to really help me navigate some of those things that I'm dealing with. And so I'm glad that you shared. And I do think that you are supposed to be in a suit, and you talk about not being a preacher, but I don't know. I can see you being up there preaching. I see it. I know you probably don't see it, but I see it.
That's a conversation that God, we fight with that all the time. Like like what you're saying, like it's sometimes we have those conversations with God where they are, we think one thing and then he says another. Like someone told me, he said, when you make your plans, God laugh at them. Right. when you make your plans, God laughs at them. And I personally, like I said, for me, the being in the suit thing, like it's not necessarily in a pulpit. Like I've kind of came to grips with being, I don't, like you said, I don't mind being first. I don't mind being the one to set the tone for my family. the hard part about that is that you don't have any, you don't have an example of what it looks like. So you have to be the one to do it. I didn't, like, going to college, my parents didn't know what a FAFSA was. I didn't know what a FAFSA was. We didn't even know anything about, we spent so much money with recruiting in football that I felt like I put my parents in debt because we was just trying to figure out what recruitment was like, you know? And now that I went to college, I got my master's, I will go back and get my doctorate at some point. But it's not to say for my kids, you got to be like daddy. It's just to show my kids that it's possible and to show people from my hometown that it's possible. Now, there's a few guys from my hometown that are doing some amazing things right now. And I'm looking at them like, bro, we grew up on the same street. Look at you now. Like, look what you're doing. Look where you at. And then we look at some people from my hometown and we're like, man, what happened? Like, you was that guy. You was that girl. What happened? And you just learn that, you know, some people peak early, some people don't. Or some people just make different decisions. And so I'm just now in a space where, now that I have kids, I want my son to know what it looks like for a dad to be emotional. I want my daughter to know what a husband looks like, teaching his, like, how does a husband supposed to love his wife, right? Me and my wife, we're married, but we have issues too. Everyone has issues. But how do we handle that in front of the kids? How do we deal with that? Because I didn't see it fully. My parents are married, but there are some things that I grew up was like, wait a minute, I don't think that's right. I don't know how to do that. And I get married and I do those things and I realize that's not the best way to do it. Now I have to personally do the work on myself to say, you know, this is not, Kiana's, you got to be willing to deal with your own stuff because you're bleeding on somebody that never cut you.
I think I may have lost Kiana's, but it's okay because let me tell you, this has been, the enemy does not want us to complete this. And it's evident by, we have had so many issues and so many things that has created barriers. I always want to stress is get help. It's okay. We were not created to do life alone. God did not want us to be alone. And that is why he created individuals to know how to do certain stuff, but also bless us to be able to give us their expertise. And so I'm so glad that every one of you guys tuned in, and y'all know what it is. If it's not a lesson, it's a blessing. Thank you so much for tuning in to Soul Shine. If you have not done so, please make sure that you like, share, and subscribe. Y'all have a good one.
This is the Soul Shine Podcast. And remember, if it's not a lesson, it's a blessing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.